إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله we will continue the explanation of the book بلوغ المرام by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, still on Kitab al-Jinayat, the ahadith talking about the rulings related to crimes. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه أن ربيعة بنت نضر عمته كفرت سنية جارية فطلبوا إليها العفو فأبوا، فعرضوا العرش فأبوا، فأتوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأبوا القصاص، فأمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالقصاص. فقال أنس بن نضر: يا رسول الله، أتكسر سنية ربيع؟ لا، والذي بعثك بالحق لا تكسر سنيتها. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أنس، كتاب الله القصاص. فرضي القوم فعفوا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن من عباد الله من لو أقسم على الله لأبره. متفق عليه، واللفظ للبخاري. أنس بن مالك من الله بطير وثيم reported that الربيع one of the female companions, the daughter of Al-Nadri, who happens to be the paternal aunt of Anas radiallahu anhu. The father of Anas, Malik, Rubai, is a sister. So definitely Rubai will be the aunt of Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas radiallahu anhu said that Rubai is the daughter of Nadr, Ammatahu, who happened to be his aunt, كسرت سنية جارية, broke the tooth of a girl. سنية جارية, broke the tooth of a girl. فطلبوا إليها العفو. They wanted the girl to pardon, to forgive, to overlook. We know that if somebody deliberately breaks another person's tooth or any other thing, that the ruling is al-qisas, that is retaliation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى. Oh, you believe, it has been ordained for you, al-qisas, retaliation, retribution, fil-qatla, with respect to the murdered ones. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. O people of understanding, in retaliation, there is life for you. We have explained this at length, that if there is no law of retaliation, people would have committed a lot of evils. But somebody who knows that if he kills, he will be killed back. If he shot somebody's hand, his hand will be shot back. Whatever he does of evil deliberately, the law of retaliation is there for him. Such a person is going to caution himself or herself. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. There is life for you in retaliation. يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. O people of understanding. So Rubai bint al-Nadr, who happened to be the aunt of Anas radiallahu anhu, broke the tooth of a girl, فَطَلَبُوا إِلَيْهَا الْعَفْوَى. فَطَلَبُوا إِلَيْهَا الْعَفْوَى. That is, the relatives of Urbayy requested pardon from the girl, or a people. فَأَبَوُوا. They refused. They said there's nothing like what? Pardon me. So they are not going to pardon me. فَعَرَضُوا الْعَرْشَ. They suggested to them al-arsha. Al-arsha is compensation. If somebody's hand is broken, or eye is clogged, for instance, or ear is cut, and so on and so forth, what is paid is known as what? As al-arsh. That is the compensation for something. The compensation for something that is destroyed. Such a thing is called al-arsh. So particularly if it is not deliberate. فَعَرَضُوا الْعَرْشَ. So they suggested to them that they should take arsh from them. فَعَبَوْا. They said they are not going to take arsh. فَأَتَوْا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The relatives of Ar-Rubayyah bint Nadr went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who also went, they took the matter to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَبَوْا إِلَى الْقِصَصِ. They refused, except they are allowed to avenge. They insisted on retaliation. فَأَمَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْقِصَاصِ. Consequently, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered for retaliation. فقال أنس بن نضر. Anas, the son of Nadr, said. He said, Rubayy bint Nadr. Anas bin Nadr. Meaning, this is the brother of Rubayy. Not Anas bin Malik. Anas bin Malik bin Nadr. So, there was somebody called Anas, who was a brother to Rubayy. Who was a brother to Rubayy. So he is also uncle of Anas bin Malik. He is also uncle to Anas bin Malik. Just as Rubayy was aunt to Anas bin Malik. Then Malik, the father of Anas, is also brother to both of them. That is both Rubayy and Anas. Not Anas the son, not Anas the brother. So Anas bin Nadri, he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أتبصر سنية ربيع is the instance of Rubai going to be broken? That is, are they going to take, are they going to retaliate? La, there is nothing like that. There is nothing like that. That is, the Atut is not going to be broken in retaliation. Now, is this an objection to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. It's not objecting to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was saying something that he is confident in, that the truth of Rubaiyya is not going to be broken. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ I swear by the one who has raised you in the truth. Our truth is not going to be broken. Our truth is not going to be broken. لَا تُكْسَرُوا سَنِيَّتُهَا Our truth is not going to be broken. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَا أَنَسْ O Anas! Not Anas bin Malik, Anas bin Nadr, the brother to Rubaiyya bint Nadr. Kitabullah is his source. What the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states is retaliation. What are you saying? You are saying Atut is not going to be broken. And the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Al-Qisas. فَرَضِيَ الْقَوْمِ After a while, the people, the relatives of the lady that was affected, فَرَضِيَ الْقَوْمِ So they were pleased. فَعَفَى And they forgave. The pardon. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said after this, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ Among the servants of Allah, there are those people that if they were to take an oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لَأَبَرَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it come to pass. Did you get the message? That is, he was talking confidently that Atut would not be broken. If one listened to that, would be afterwards, it was challenging the law. To the extent that Messenger of Allah was reminding him of what? Of the book of Allah, that this is what is in the book, there is nothing we can do. The people, they have suggested that they should be pardoned. That he is the woman should be pardoned, the Rubaiyya should be pardoned. And they insisted that no, they are not going to pardon. They should take Al-Arsh. They say they are not going to take Al-Arsh. Then there is nothing we can do about this. We have to implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what? Al-Qisas. On Ar-Rubaiyya. But Anas now say that, does that mean Atut is going to be removed? No, Atut is not going to be removed. I swear by the one who has raised you in the future. That is, this matter will be resolved. And the matter was eventually resolved the way Anas bin Nadri radiallahu anhu had said. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna min ibadillah man law aqsama 'ala Allah la'abarra." There are some people among the servants of Allah. If they swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make that thing come to pass. So this happens to some people that they will be saying something confidently because they have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this thing will come to pass. An example was what happened to Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala. He was talking about the Tatars. Ibn Taymiyyah was telling them that we are going to defeat these people this time around. Some people said, say inshallah. He said, Inshallah, tahqiqan. The inshallah that I'm saying is inshallah of what? Tahqiq of affirmation. I'm very sure that this thing is going to come to pass. And eventually, the force will be surpassed and they were defeated. So at times somebody will speak confidently and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor him and make what he has said come to pass. So this is what Anas bin Nadir radiallahu anhu says. لا تفتر ثنيته يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعيث ذو نبي بكم والذي بعثك بالحق. I swear by the one who has raised you with the truth. So some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make whatever they say come to pass. But one should not be deceived by this. Some people, they have not reached this stage. And they will claim what? They will claim they've reached the stage. And that's why Allah embarrasses them at times. He'll say so and so will happen, and it won't happen. It won't happen. Because they have not reached the stage. So they are claiming what they do not have. Those who have reached the stage, they only use it once in a while. Not something that else they will be using. Because this may mislead their followers. This may mislead their followers. And they want to put themselves in trouble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at times he used something like this. He would tell them confidently, authoritatively, that so and so will happen. And it will come to pass. But at times he won't tell them, he will make things go the way they should go. So the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times they say this. Another example that happened to Shaykh Said ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala was when some of the Sufi people, the Rifa'iyya, they were entering into fire, a fire that was kindled. So they will enter into the fire and they will not be burnt. So Ibn Taymiyyah told them that I'm going to challenge you people. I will enter the fire and I will not get burnt, inshallah. But you people, you enter the fire and you get burnt. But you are going to do so and so for me. You are going to bath yourself with so and so water. The reason they are not being burnt is because they have rubbed on their body some things that will protect them from being what? Burnt. He has discovered that. But the people, they didn't know. Those Sufi people, they didn't know that he already knew what they were doing. And the masses, they were being deceived by what the Sufi people were displaying. He now said, you people, you will bath yourself with so and so water. Then after that, you enter the... Then I will also enter the fire. I will see the liar among us. So then he was met later. The Sheikh, why did you say so? He said, at that point, I was very sure that I will not get burned. So at times it will happen like that some of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say some things authoritatively and confidently. Because at that point they are at the point of al-yaqeen, certainty, that Allah will not humiliate them. Allah will not disgrace them because they are fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So things like this happen once in a while or at times. But it's not something that the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resort to often, so that they will not fall into another thing, which is claiming what is not theirs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors his people at times. So the relationship of this hadith to the topic is that the one who deliberately kills a person should be killed. Though if the relatives of the murdered, if they want to pardon, they have the right to do that. And if they want to collect ash, that is compensation, they also have the right to do that. But if they insist on retaliation, Allah has given them the right to do that. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And that was what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to implement before the family and the relatives of the lady whose ancestor was broken, and later forgave her, and they did not retaliate. So that is what is being established by that hadith. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه from Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his brother, قال, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من قتل في عينية أو رينية بحجر أو صوت أو عصا, whoever is killed في عينية blindly أو رينية بحجر, and or the person is killed by a straight stone, or falcon, or is killed by a cane, or an arrow, or by a stick. Ordinarily, if you look at these things, they are not deliberate killing. Somebody is killed blindly. That means maybe somebody fire an arrow, for instance, and that arrow mistakenly, so to say, hit the person. He was not the target. Let's assume that two communities are fighting. Maybe they are shooting at each other, so to say, but one of the shots hit somebody. It was not intended by the person who has fired that thing, but he was mistakenly hit by that thing. So this is what is called Elijah. Somebody was blindly affected. Or maybe it was a stone that was thrown, and that stone hit him, and he died as a result of it. It was not intended, but it was like a stray stone. Our person, maybe he was beaten with salt, with a cane, that oh, now he cannot kill somebody. But when he was flogged with the salt, he died. Our answer. Or he was beat with a stick, that ordinarily would not kill a person, and he died as a result of this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if this happens, فَعَقْلُهُ عَقْلُ الْخَطَئِ. عَقْلُ, عَقْلُ here means dia, not the intellect. From عَقْلَ to fight. No, we said that الْعَقِلَ, that is the family of the one who has committed manslaughter, also, or the one who has done something mistakenly. The عَقِلَ are his family, those that are going to pay. The word aqila is gotten from the word aqlu. Aqlu means to tie something. And that's why what the Arabs, what they put on, they call it what? Iqar. You know, when they put on this shimal, they use something, the rope, to tie it. So they call that rope iqar. Iqar. So from aqla. So al-aqlu here means dear. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَعَقْلُهُ, the deer is going to be عَقْلُ الْخَطَى. It's going to be عَقْلُ الْخَطَى. It's going to be the عَقْلُ الْخَطَى. And what is the aql of khata? What is the view of khata? Huh? What is the basic idea of khata? A man's slaughter. What is the idea? Now, somebody mistakenly killed another person. What is the idea? Huh? 100 camels. 100 camels. That is the idea. So, in a situation like this, 100 camels will also be given. 100 camels will be given. So two communities are fighting, and some people are killed in the course. Are you going to treat it as a Qatl al-Amad? No, you're not going to treat it as Qatl al-Amad. You're going to treat it as what? Qatl al-Khata. Qatl al-Khata. And that was why some people, those that were killed in this Arab Spring, there were some people who were requesting from the government to pay the dia of those people that were killed in the Arab Spring, the Egyptian government. Some scholars were saying they're supposed to pay, the government was supposed to pay dia to those people whose families or members of family were killed in the protest. Now, whether it is correct or not, that's a different thing. What I'm saying is that if people are fighting, and this fight eventually leads to what? To the killing of another person, or some of the people involved in the fighting, so we are not going to treat it as what? Qatl al-Amj. We're going to be treated as Qatl al-Khata. So based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, just like the case of the Uzaliyah, that lady from Uzayl, who was a co-wife, so to say, to the other woman, and she killed the other woman mistakenly. She did not have the intention of killing her. They were fighting. But she eventually died as a result of that, and the baby in the womb was also lost. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated it as what? Qatl, Qatl Shibul Amj. It was like Shibul Amj, it was like a murder, but it was not murder, it was not intentional. So he treated it as what? As Shibul Amj. And what? Khata. It was Khata partially, because she did not have the intention of killing her. It was treated Amj because she had the intention of what? Of eating her with that thing. But she never knew that thing could what? Could lead to a death. So the same thing is applicable here. People are fighting. Two communities are fighting. And this eventually leads to the death of maybe some of the members of the two communities. So if they are going to treat those that are dead in that case, it's going to be the case of what? Of Qatar. So it is what? Amj, but the Shibul Amj. It is what? Shibul Amj. It was deliberate somehow, because they had the intention of what? Shooting that thing. But they now have the intention of killing the person that was killed. وَمَنْ قُتِلَ عَمْدًا فَهُوَ قَوَدٌ وَمَنْ قُتِلَ عَمْدًا Whoever is deliberately killed, whoever is deliberately murdered, فَهُوَ قَوَدٌ What is قَوَد? Coward is the same thing as qisas, retaliation. فَهُوَ قَوَدٌ So the Arabs will say what? أَقَادًا Meaning that he is a retaliated or a tax for me, from the source, retaliated. فَهُوَ قَوَدٌ So this is what is the source of retaliation. If they are very cute, when the situation they are fighting, he did not have the intention of killing that particular person. But maybe the stone was three, or the shot was three, and each that person, so in a situation like this, is going to be treated as what? shibul aqj. So that's where Mr. Nubullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَعَقْلُهُ هِدِيَا عَقْلُ هِدِيَا يَنَا عَقْلُ الْخَطَى is the deer of khata. As I said, عَقْلُ here does not mean intellect. It means what? It means deer. It means the deer, blood money. So the blood money is going to be that of khata. وَمَنْ قُتِلَ عَمْدًا whoever is killed deliberately, فَهُوَ قَوَدٌ it is a qisas. وَمَنْ حَالَ دُونَهُ whoever uses his position, whoever uses his position to prevent the qawat, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ on such a person will be the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because maybe you are the head of state, or you are the governor, you are so and so, you are the chairman of the local government, you have a position in society, and somebody who is a relative of yours or somebody who is very close to you commits a crime, commits a murder. The ruling is that he should be killed unless if the family of those people they forgive. But the family of those people say they do not forgive. And they are not happy with taking deer. But you use your position, maybe as the head of the state, or as a governor, or as so and so, you use your position to say no, the matter has been watched, has been cancelled. And the family of the deceased do not have anything to do. Such a person has been caught the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who uses his position to watch, to nullify the matter. What he can do is for him to watch, for them to request for pardoning or the acceptance of dia. But if they insist that no, they are not going to take dia, then he must allow them to carry out the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what al-qawat, which is retaliation. He must allow them. But for him to say, oh no, this person is my son, or this person is my father, or so and so, so I'm going to prevent, then in this case, he is incurring the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us from this. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, from Abdullah, the son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إذا أمسك الرجل الرجل, if a man withhold another man, وقتله الآخر, and another person comes and kills the one that was held by the other person. Now we have three persons now involved. Somebody is holding another person. Then the third party is coming to kill the one that was held or that has been held by the first person. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yuqtalu alladhi qatala." The one who kills, the one who executes, who carries out that killing will be killed, because he is the killer, he is the direct killer. وَيُحْبَسُ الَّذِي أَمْسَكَ the one who has killed the other person, who has hurt him, for him to be killed, يُحْبَسُ he will also be held. That is, he will be imprisoned. He will be imprisoned until he dies too. Because he is the one that owes this person till he kills, so he's going to be held as well until he dies. How to explain? The killer is the one that is going to be held responsible. That is, the killer is the one that is going to be killed, because he is a murderer. Take for somebody is an assassin, he's been hired by another person to assassinate another person. He carries out the act of assassination and is caught. Who is going to be killed. Yeah? The assassin is going to be killed. But the one who has hired him wants to be his own fate. So in this case, some scholars have the opinion that both of them watch to be killed. Some scholars said no. It's the killer that will be killed. For him to have allowed himself to be hired to kill another soul, he is the killer. He is the Mubashir. So he is the one that will be killed, not the one who has hired him. As one who has hired him, such a person is going to be what? He's going to be punished in such a way that will deter him from doing, from continuing similar things. Maybe he will be in prison, life imprisonment or something like that. Or maybe another type of what? Punishment. Because both of them are sensible. They are sensible people. The assassin is sensible. The IRA is also what? Sensible. So for you to have allowed yourself to have been what? To have been used to achieve an ulterior motive, then you are what? You are the number one criminal. But for the one who has hired somebody, who will not be allowed to go scot-free. He will be punished in such a way that will deter him from being such. So Allahu A'lam, this is the more correct view. Particularly when we look at what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said here, that person yuhbasu, who also be out. To also be dealt. Now, somebody wants to terminate pregnancy. A woman wants to terminate pregnancy. If the pregnancy is terminated, who is responsible? The doctor or the woman? Huh? The doctor is what? Mubashir. Is the one who does it directly. So the dia to be paid will be paid by the doctor. No, we have said it, if the pregnancy is terminated after four months. So that is what? There is a ghurra. How to display, as we have mentioned before, that he is the watch of a slave, the price of the slave, the watch, is going to be paid. Obviously. So the doctor will be the one to be responsible for that. And that's why one should not allow himself, a medical doctor should not allow himself to be used to terminate pregnancies. Except for a genuine reason in the Sharia. So, this is what about if a husband and a wife, both of them agree to terminate the pregnancy, who is responsible? Huh? The doctor. If the doctor is not involved, now I'm the one who carries out. If it is the woman that takes the drug, so she is what? She is responsible, that is, she is what? The direct person responsible. But the man, the husband, is somehow what? Responsible as well. And he is involved in this. So all these are things that scholars will discuss when we talk about the issue of terminating of a soul before delivery. If it is below 4 months, we say scholars, they have a lot of comments on that. Some of the opinion that they see something of ghurra, the same ruling is applicable. Some of the opinion that the same ruling is not applicable, but for terminating it, it's painful. Or she's thankful for doing that. If it is what? Below 4 months. But if it is 4 months above, then there is ghurra. there's going to be jizya to be paid. There's going to be jizya to be paid. Now, what if those who are the relatives of those who are supposed to collect the jizya, or those who are supposed to execute, in the overlook? Is the question clear? Somebody has committed murder, and you said the ruling is retaliation. But those who are supposed to carry out that thing, the relative of the murder, you say they overlook. Is there anything? Without taking anything from the murderer, no arm. If they decide to take something, is there any arm?
No.
No arm. Can they take more than the normal deer of arms? Can they take more than that? Yes, they can take more than that. They can take more than that. If they decide that they want to take more than that, it is permissible to do that. As the Prophet said in some of the ahadith, it's permissible to take more than the deer, because ordinarily they are supposed to keep it. So if they want to overlook that, by taking more than the deer to the arms, they are free to do that. As we have said several times, they are free to do that. And this is the correct position of Allah. So the same thing is applicable to the issue of maybe pregnancy and the like. If they overlook, then that is overlooked for them. I hope it is clear. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَيُحْبَطُ الَّذِي أَمْسَكَ. The one who holds that person will also be out in retaliation as well, because he was the one that urged the person to be killed. So he will also be out, will be imprisoned, maybe till his death or till the relatives or the murderers decide to overlook. Now, let's assume that somebody drives somebody or chases somebody to the mouth of a lion. Huh? Who is the direct killer? Who is responsible? So we are not going to hold the lion responsible. Because why? Why? Because the lion does not have what? Doesn't have aql. Doesn't have aql. So you can't hold the lion responsible. So it's the man that pushes that person to what? To the lion that will be responsible for that. So we will not implement the one that Amstacker will use that. Somebody sees a lion coming and now he now holds somebody. So when the lion comes, he runs away and the lion divorces that person. He will say what? Do not apply this hadith. That man will be the one that will be responsible. Because the lion has to be played. Now somebody paves the way for a madman to kill a person. Who is responsible? The man, not the madman. Because a madman does not have what? Happy. Somebody says that a young boy that has not reached the age of puberty should go and kill somebody. And the guy, the young boy, executes that. Who is responsible? So you won't take what the boy is responsible because he has not reached the age of maturity. How do you explain? So anything that a madman does, for instance, or a young boy does, a madman kills somebody, a young boy kills somebody, that will be treated as what? As manslaughter, not as a hamd. But if it is confirmed that he was sent by somebody, then that person that sent him will be the one to get the ring of what? Retaliation. And this is the way the Sharia has treated the matter. Amdu as-sabi yu'addu khata, the deliberate killing of a boy not up to puberty is considered as what? As khata. Likewise, that of an insane person is considered as what? As khata. If an insane person destroys something, or a young boy destroys something, are we going to hold him responsible or not? A young boy destroys something, destroys a property of another person, or an insane person destroys a property of another person, are we going to hold them responsible? Yes, they are going to be held responsible. But with respect to killing, they will be killed back. But if they have destroyed something, they will pay for that thing from what? From their wealth. A madman that destroys something is going to pay for that from his wealth. But when it has to do with what? Taking his life for that thing, this is what will not be carried out. How would you say? So all these are matters that are related to these issues. So inshallah we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May he subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa hamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now the question is, in case in the situation where the husband and the wife agree to terminate the pregnancy. Now we have said that the woman, if she's the one that does that, she's the direct person that is responsible. So, but if the husband also agrees to that, so both of them, they are guilty of that. But the one who is the one who carries it out is the direct person that is responsible. But if it is a medical doctor, it is a medical doctor. If it is the woman that takes some pills, she will be the one that will be involved. But the man should not be allowed to do such way as well. Now the question is, who is going to take the deer? What is the deer here? What is the deer of aborting the baby in the womb? That is above 4 months now. He said below 4 months, there is difference of opinion. Above 4 months, what is the deer? No. Gurra, which is what? Abdul or Amma. It's slave, male or female. Or it's equivalent. Or the equivalent. That is the money. Huh? Or the equivalent in money. That is the deer. So if the woman is paying the deer now, who is going to take the deer? The deer will be taken by the egg of the babe in the womb that was terminated. Huh? Those that will inherit that baby, if you are to be alive. those who are eligible to inherit will be the ones that will take the deer. They will share the deer among themselves. Apart from the criminal. Apart from the criminal. And who is the criminal here? The parents. Particularly the mother. If she's the one that does that by herself. So she will not be given from the deer of Allah. I think the question is, if the madman destroys something, you know it is difficult to trace their family and their background. I think the security men can do that. So they know how to trace anybody that they want to trace. So that should be left to them, Allah. Now the question is, somebody who is at times normal and at times abnormal, if he commits a crime at the time of abnormality, if it has to do with killing, we said is treated as what? As Qatul Khata. How to explain? The madman kills somebody. The killing is treated as what? Khata. So meaning dia is going to be paid from his, that is the relatives of the madman, the aqila. His aqila will be those that will pay. Not that we just, they will go scot-free like that. But the only thing is that what? No retaliation as far as it's concerned. Unlike if a same person, kills another person deliberately. So that will be considered as what? Murder. And retaliation is established. But the difference between a madman or a young boy is that these people are not religiously responsible. So their amdu is what is considered khata. So if they destroy property deliberately, what will be done is what? Or they kill somebody. So that means they are going to pay the diya, or they are going to pay for that thing. How to explain? Because this aqlu, that is the sense or the intellect, has a lot to do with as far as what ibadah is concerned. So somebody who is not religiously responsible, you are not going to hold him responsible. So what you ought to do is, at the time of the crime, is that person sane or insane? If it is proven that he is insane when he commits the crime, then he is treated as what? As khata. And the diya to khata will be paid. Then if it is confirmed that he was sane, then in that case, it will be treated as what? As manslaughter, as the murder. All this is clear. It's clear. Now.
No.
That is surat after Salat al-Isha.
Yes.
And that of Shafra. Now, observing surat after Salat al-Isha, this is established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as we have surat after Salat al-Zuhr and before, and we have Suraka before Salat al-Fajr, we have after Maghrib, so that is after Salat al-Isha as well. So this is Sunnah al-Isha al-Ba'diyya, the Sunnah of Isha al-Ba'diyya that comes after. Now there is what is also called Suraka, to open the prayer of the night, apart from the witr, apart from what the shafr we are talking about. There is another suraka with which you open the night prayer, your tahajjud. Just pray suraka. Then after that you can start. But this is also not compulsory. You can start your qiyamul layl direct. So whether it is three you want to pray, that you call to shafr and you call the remaining one with you. All of them are with you. Because 2 plus 1 is 3, so 3 is with you. So whether you pray 6 raka, then you pray 3 later, or you pray 7 raka, you pray 9 raka, you pray 11 raka, 13 raka or more. So as long as they are ending with in odd, so they are all with you. But if you want to break them, considering maybe you have made the slim in between, then you can say those ones are what? Are shafr, because they are even. They're even. So, 2 raka after Isha, Salat al-Isha has its own 2 raka, nafila. Then there is 2 raka with which you open the night prayer. So this is also different from the night prayer itself, which is also not composed of Allah. That is... Now, no, the Kula Yu al-Kafirun and Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la are part of the witr. That is part of the witr. You may call them shafr, but they are part of what? The witr altogether. So if you want to pray 3 raka only as your qiyamul layl, so it is good that maybe the first one you recite Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la, the second one you recite Kula Yu al-Kafirun. And what you do of tashahud, you make the sleep, then you rise towards to bring one. Or if you like, you can go to pray all together without any sitting in between. Just pray the 3 rakah to go. Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la, Kula Yu al-Kafirun, then Kul Huwallahu Ahad. Now should you add Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq and Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas? Scholars differ concerning the authenticity of that addition. They differ concerning the authenticity of the addition of Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq and Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. But undoubtedly, there is a report that is authentic that you recite Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la first raka. Second raka, you recite Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. Then the third raka, you recite Kul Huwallahu Ahad. This is authentic, no doubt. But another report that asks what Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq and Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas to Kul Huwallahu Ahad. This scholars are different concerning the authenticity. Sheikh Al-Albani authenticated it, but some other scholars of hadith, he said that ziyada is ziyada that is not authentic. Allah. Now, but that doesn't stop you from observing maybe 2 raka, you want to recite Surah Al-Baqarah, then Surah Al Imran, Surah Swan. So, but if you want to bring the whole Salah to an end, then you cannot do this. You can also do it that way. Maybe you have observed 10 raka. You have read the surah that you can read, but you want to terminate everything, then you cannot go back towards this method of surah to Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la. Then the second, another raka, Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, they make the sleep. then you bring another rakah where you do kul wallahu ahad, so you can do it that way as well. Allah. Now, this thing we are looking at it from two ways. The first one is you have the narration of the reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas before any surah. Then there's another incident of reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas after he has recited the surah. Two different incidents. One, the man said a long speech. The other, it was said at what it is the Sifat al-Rahman or something like that. So he said to him, حُبُّكَ إِيَّاكَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةِ. The love that you have for it makes you an image of Al-Jannah. Huh? So the other one, Masih wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also approved it. Now we look at the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Would he recite Surah Al-Ikhlas before any other surah? Or after he has recited any other surah, would he recite Surah Al-Ikhlas? Was it reported? It was not reported. So does that mean that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the page and was doing what is good? Is the question clear?
No.
So definitely we will say what? We have left the bed. Because if reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas before reciting another surah is the bed, Messenger of Allah would have left it. Or if reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas after the recitation of every surah is the bed, he would have left it. So for him to have left that shows it's not the bed. And that's why a lot of scholars will say this is what is something that is mashru'. Mashru' here means it is permissible. Huh? Baghiru mustahab. Baghiru mustahab. You get it? When they say mashru' here means it is permissible. Not because at times they use the word mashru' to mean mustahab. And they use it to mean mubah. So they say mashru' here means it is permissible. If you want to do, you are free to do. But it's not mustahab. It's not something that is lost. Because if were it to be mustahab, Messenger would have done it. Then there would have been a lot of reports from the companions that he would do that. So why disturbing yourself on things that the companions would not do often? And Messenger of Islam would not even. There was any report that said he would do that. So that this is what is mashru, is something that is permissible. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmahullah ta'ala addressed issues like this. There are so many things that we say, okay, it's permissible. That you watch Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approve. But not that he encouraged people to be doing it. That's it, wallahu a'lam.
Sunnah. then companion duty, the chief confirmed that the host is to do. Like that, we would have to do the common thing, we do almost every time.
نعم أصبح حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا في there are a lot of things that are recommended if we go back to Sifat Salat al-Nabi that are recommended to be said when we raise our heads from Ruku. So that is not the only thing that is recommended, but if one sticks to that one is mashru'. So is mashru, something that is then it is mustahab, because Messenger of Allah said what laqabi ra'aytu 12 malakan yabtadirunaha ayyuhum yaktubu awwala. I've seen 12 angels or so trying to write it down. That is, they are trying to compete who is going to write it down first. So this may be up to the level of mustahab. But there are a lot of adhkar that are recommended if one raises one's head from Ruku. Allah Allah. No. 14 to 13 is what is against the sunnah. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved it. But is it the best? It can be the best. Because Messenger of Islam would not do it. And it was not reported that the companions would also want to do it. So, but when we see somebody doing it, we should move for the person. Because they have approved it. Now, shaving of the hair, according to the Hanabila, shaving of the hair of a newborn baby girl, the Hanabila, they do not subscribe to that. Based on the hadith that the women are forbidden from shaving their hair. So they said that is also applicable to a baby girl, a new baby girl. So her hair should not be shaved. So this is what the Hanabila are upon. But majority of the scholars are of the opinion that the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, كل غلام مرتهن لعقيقات يوم صابره ويحلق راسه يسمى يحلق راسه. So his hair should be shaved. So they said in general. So it is after they shaved that, when he said was أمينت عنه الأذى, he called the hair that the baby comes to the world with, he called it Adha, a kind of filth. So how can you not tell us that the one that is on the head of a baby girl is not filth? But their own argument is that what you have known in the Sharia is that the women should not shave their hair. So if it is said to be filth, it's not applicable to the baby girl. I hope you get the argument. So it's masala khilafiyah, is a matter that there is even some opinion on. That one will not be asked on it, wallahu a'lam. Huh? Why I can't say this is called a rod, in that, but what I say is that it should be shaved. But am I so convinced to the extent of saying that other one is completely wrong? No, I can't say that. Wallahu a'lam. $8 million. Whatever is the camel good? Okay.
Somebody now says, how could you not take that? Because it's not more than man of right. You know, it's not more than man of right. So what's the man of right?
And the apostle can also be told, do you know what he meant by man and pride?
in that situation, that man and pride was most likely a response to the man who said,
now, Now that is quite al-Suliyya, that al-Qawl muqaddamun al-Fi'l, the statement of the Messenger of Allah supersedes its action. It's the principle among the scholars of Usul Fiqh. But the problem with Usul Fiqh is that not everything the scholars of Usul themselves they agree upon. As I've always said, if you pick up the book Ishad al-Suhul of Ash-Shawkani, for instance, you bring what the scholars of Usul themselves, what they said concerning this qaida, this principle, al-qawl muqaddamun ala al-fi'l. Not all of them agree to that. Some of them, they believe that what you are going to use books. If you use this, you are free. If you use this, you are what? You are free. So, because this qaida of al-qawl muqaddamun ala al-fi'l is when you are on table, you see two statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or two hadith, so to say. Maybe one is a statement, the other one is what is an action. And there is a kind of seeming contradiction between the two. What are you going to do? Are you going to throw away both a hadith? If you throw away both a hadith, what you have done is what? An ihmal. If you say, okay, I'm going to use this, I'm not going to use this, what you have done is what? Imanu wahid wa imanu al-akhar. You have used one and you have thrown away the other. So some scholars will say, okay, instead of doing imanu wahid wa imanu al-akhar, why not do al-jam'u bayn al-ithnayn? Trying to reconcile the two. So if this one says, don't do, and this one suggests that what? He does. So okay, don't do here can mean what? Karaha. Not haram. Am I communicating? Don't do. And you see a hadith that says he does. That is Rasulullah Islam does. And you see a hadith that says don't do. So some will use this in order to do what? Jamu between the two. They say okay, don't do here means what? Makuru, not haram. Take for instance the issue of drinking while standing. Most of us we take to eat as if what? There is no difference of opinion on it. So when you see somebody drinking standing, you frown at that person. You drink it up. But this matter is a matter that even the companions they differ on. And with Allah, I knew some Messenger of Allah drinking at the place of Zamzam, standing. And he said, some people are telling you cannot drink while standing. I saw the Messenger of Islam drinking standing. What did he do? He used the practice of the Messenger of Islam as what? As an evidence that he can do that. Why people like Anas radiallahu anhu who say what? You shouldn't do it based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. To the extent that it was said that man shariba qa'iman falyastaqi. Whoever drinks while standing should what? Should vomit it. And now are we commenting on this? He said what? Falyastaqi is the istihbab. It's not like it's compulsory on you to what? To do that. So why some will say Messenger of Islam drank standing because of necessity, not the way Ali radiallahu anhu had what? Had taken it. You see, they don't have what? Explanations. And that's why when we talk about issues of fiqh, there is always room for what? Difference of opinion on many issues. But the problem you have is that if you stick to the books of a particular scholar or a particular mazhab, so you create a lot of evil. Because whoever does not agree with that scholar, you consider it was as against Islam. Or whatever that does not agree with the mazhab, you consider it was. As a student of knowledge, one has to sit down, look at the arguments of the scholars of Sunnah, not scholars of Shia or the Mu'tazila, the scholars of Sunnah. You look at what their positions on issues of faith. Issues of Aqidah, there is no much difference of opinion on issue of Aqidah. Al-Sunnah, Al-Bidah. When you see any difference of opinion on issue of Aqidah, those who hold what the contrary opinion are mostly I watch most likely the people of Bid'ah. But when it comes to the issue of what fiqh itself, scholars of Sunnah, they differ among themselves on many issues. On many issues. And you can only be at rest, so to say, for you to study. If you're a student of knowledge, you study. Where are these people coming from? This particular sheikh, where is he coming from? Then you are never at what? An opinion with which you can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for you to say, okay, whatever sheikh so and so has said is final, that can be what? That can be correct, because that sheikh so and so is not a Nabi. If what Abu Bakr as a companion say is not final as far as some issues of fiqh is concerned, then the statement of a particular sheikh will be what? Will be final. So, what I'm trying to say in essence is that what Al-Qawlu Muqaddam Al-Fi'l is not a qaida that is accepted completely by the scholars of Usul themselves that they agree upon. Like Ibn Hazm, he doesn't take that principle of that Qawlu Muqaddam Al-Fi'l, he doesn't take it like that. So he said he uses this in his place. So, but it's one of the principles of At-Tarjih that the scholars use in order to give weight to one hadith over the other, wallahu a'lam. How do we measure the deer of the aborted baby? Now, let's say 5 camels for instance. 5 camels. And the equivalent is the amount of 5 camels. If you want to pay in naira, the equivalent of 5 camels. So the basis is that you give out the DI 5 camels for the aborted baby. That's the basis. But okay, I don't have camels. I want to pay in naira. So you look for you pay the worth of the 5 camels. Now the first thing that we ought to understand is that there is a difference between baby in the womb or the baby that was born as a stillborn. Stillborn and baby in the womb, the same thing. But if the baby is born alive, then it has the ruling of a human being. If it's a male, it has the root of what it means. Just like what? Just like a man of 80 years. The same thing. A day old boy, if he's killed or murdered, is the same thing as the murdering of a man of 80 years or more. The same thing. But if it is in the womb or is born still, then in that case, it has the reign of Hurra that we mentioned, five families. How that is clear. So this issue of a man mistakenly killing his daughter is the case of mistakenly killing a woman. How is it clear? A female. Because she's alive, or she was alive before she was killed. So what was going to be the deal? Female is half of male, 50 camels. Female is half of what? That of male. If male is 100 camels, then that of male will be 50. So the man is supposed to pay what? The worth of 50 camels to be given to the heirs of the daughter killed. How this is clear. Now another thing is that is the man guilty or it is the girl that is guilty? That you have to verify before you can continue with the ruling. So he may not be responsible for that. Yes, for the deer. No, before we can say, okay, you are supposed to pay deer, you are not supposed to pay deer, you have to look at the details of what is surrounding. Now, somebody eats a person with his car. You said what? It was not intentional. Huh? But is it the one guilty or is the person that was knocked down that was guilty? You have to look at what? The situation. Now, apart from being a drunkard, maybe the person, for instance, now, maybe the person may be normal, but maybe he's not supposed to pass the way, maybe cross the way he's crossing. Uh-huh. So we have to look at the situation surrounding that. Won't just be because, okay, he has killed somebody, he's going to pay so and so. No? Okay. Now, if right poison is kept in the house, where do they keep it? Is it a place that is accessible to the children? If it's a place that is accessible to the children, then they are guilty. But if they keep it in a place that is not accessible, ordinarily, then the children go there, one of the children goes there, then they are not responsible for that. All these are things that we look at before we can say this person is going to pay there or is not going to pay there. Allah. Now somebody, a woman, God's marriage, or a woman loses her husband and she has two sons, two daughters for that deceased husband. She remarries again. She remarries and she has two sons now for the other man. Now this son, the son of this other husband, and the daughter she has. Okay, okay, the man has what? Two wives. That is the woman has a husband that has two wives, and that man dies. The son of the second wife, is that son a mahram to the daughter of this same woman when she gets married to another man? Is the question clear? No, it's the same thing. It's not. The question is that it is not. They are not mahram. The girl, the daughter of the woman, is not a mahram, or the son of the woman is not a mahram to the daughter of the other wife. How is it clear? For the other man, it's not a mahram. They are in position of those who can marry each other. I think the other people will practice this. And if you read this book, Al-Risala of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, he specifically mentioned this issue here. Specifically mentioned the issue, Allah. When the Imam says Ameen, you also say Ameen. That means you should not precede the Imam in saying your Ameen. Your Ameen should come after that of the Imam. That is, when the Imam is about to say it, you are about to say it too. You should not precede that of the Imam. Now there is a hadith that says, is a fallen Imam. If the Imam says Fala Tawli, you say Ameen. If you look at this hadith, one may understand that you can say your Ameen before that of the Imam. In fact, the hadith does not suggest that the Imam will say Ameen at all. So this is what leads some people into the error of saying Ameen before the Imam says it. But you have to understand it together with the other hadith. And this is what Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala tried to do in Tamam al-Minna and some of his other works, that you exercise patience. So when the Imam says then you also thought so that's what you can conclude together by saying Ameen. فإن من وافق تأمينه تأمين الملائكة غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Because the one whose Ameen coincides with that of the angels, his previous sins will be forgiven. So for your Ameen to coincide with that of the angels, that means you ought to say it together at the same time. So when you precede the Imam, you are not saying it together with the the imam. So I think people ought to be tutored, and their attention ought to be called to this. This is the way we can rectify the issue. Allah. Yes, saying Ameen is not compulsory. It's something that the Sunnah not compulsory. So if he doesn't say it, the Salah is valid. Can the Ma'amun say it if the Imam doesn't say it? Yes, he can say it. Allah. What do you mean by call to prayer? What? Creating a WhatsApp group to call to prayer, I don't think that is necessary. You have you can download what is it called? The prayer time. You can put it, you have so many programs that you can download. Instead of relying on your WhatsApp group, you can use that application as well as a rough guide. That when you set it the way it is normal. With that you know that it's time for prayer, so rather than what that method that you are using. And when you use it as a reminder, you have what will remind you on your phone already. That is, if you download the application will remind you. Even if you want it to make Azan, so to say, it will make it. If you don't want it to make Azan, you see it will appear, it will pop up. In the company? What do you mean by put alert? Have you tried it before? If you know that the authority of the company will not stop you from doing that, then it's compulsory to do it. But if they will not allow it, then in that case, no harm. All you need to do is for you to just get the finder to stand for prayer. But rather than saying, okay, I want to use WhatsApp, because I may not even put all my data. So the data is not on, so I won't receive the message maybe until evening. But if you have downloaded the application, whether you have data or you don't have data, it will notify you that it is time for Salah. And better still, if you try to memorize the time, that will be better than open the application. You know, okay, now Zuhr has shifted from Swansea time to Swansea time. So all you need to do is to look at your time. And if you know, if you discover it is Swansea time, then you know you have to pray for Salah. So those that you want to call, you can give them phone call. It is Swansea time. It is time for Salah. Allah Akbar. Piercing the top of their nose. Now, as for piercing of the ears by the finish for beautification or decoration, this is a kind of consensus on the permissibility. Now, can they pierce more than one place? That is in the ear, can they pierce more than a place? So this is this subject to different opinion among the scholars. If it is for the beautification. some scholars, they count against that, that you drink more than one. Because sometimes you are not allowed to pierce any part of your body. So it's not that the Sharia allows that. That is the first one. So the second one should not be allowed. Wallahu alam, this appears to be the stronger opinion. Now as for piercing the nose, the same ruling is applicable. If she pierces the nose, in order to put a kind of ring or something like that, yes, some scholars they allow, but what is more correct is that it's not permissible to pierce the nose. If she wants to put a kind of adornment, yes, so a lot of scholars they allow that on condition that she covers her face. Allah. It is compulsory to call the Adhan unless if they will not allow that in the essence. If they will allow it, it's compulsory. But if they won't allow it, then la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So as long as you have taken that place at masjid to make adhan, even if it's not, if you are alone, maybe in the bush, so to say, is it compulsory on you to make adhan or not? Scholars will differ on that. Some of the opinion that one has to make adhan is compulsory, only if you are alone, if it's time for prayer, where you are not in an environment where people make adhan. So some scholars have the opinion that it is compulsory. This is the view of Sheikh Al-Adwan rahimahullah ta'ala. Why some scholars have the opinion that it is not compulsory, it is recommended? Huh? The Messenger of Allah said to Abu Sa'id Khudri that I know that you are somebody that loves sheep and you love to be in the badiyah. So if you are in the badiyah, then you will be in the adhan. So if you are in the adhan, insun wala jinnun wala ayni shayin illa shayin illa yawm al-qiyam. That when you are in your sheep, or you are in the body, that is in the rural areas, raise your voice with adhan. Nothing will hear the voice of adhan, not man, not jinn, not animal, except that they will testify for such a person in the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So they use this as evidence that what farfa is amr, so they see it as wajib. For most scholars, the opinion that if your loan is not compulsory on you to do adhan, if you do it is welcome and it is recommended. So if you are living in an estate where they will not allow you to start to do anything, but if they will allow you, it is compulsory to do adhan. Wallahu a'lam. Now finally, just to call our attention to something, if you want to ask questions, let us go straight. There is no need to tell us Ramali. There is no evidence that the companions will say salam alaikum whenever they want to ask questions. We are already seated, and this is not the first time we are meeting. If you are meeting first, then you have to make the slip before asking the question. But we are now seated here, so if you want to ask your question, once you have put up your hands and you have been given the permission to ask, just go ahead with your question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify of this and make up his claim on the spot. Now, before I mentioned it the other time, we talked about the gear of a slave and the gear of a non-Muslim, that of the women and the like. So I'm repeating it again, that of the slave is not half of that of the women. Huh? That of the slave is what? Who can remind us? Huh? No. The tear of the slave is what? Is the watch of the slave, the watch of that slave. The watch, that is, how much can the slave be sold? So that would be the watch, the payment.
There was a periodization of Hamel's pregnant
from the that is with respect to the mother.
Mother.
That is modern, the view of modern. The view of modern. Which one?
When the mother is the equivalent, why like the abortion is the equivalent?
In the case of abortion, the baby is not yet born. The baby is not yet born. So they teach it as well. The idea is burra. Burra, that is a slave, male or female. But somebody who is born alive, if he's born dead, the same thing as what? As burra. Somebody is a woman and she delivers the baby dead. The same thing as what? Burra. We have it in the case of the Rosalia, that lady. But somebody is born alive. We have to look at the person, male or female. Somebody is born alive, male, and the person is killed deliberately by somebody. Then in that case, it is worth 100 camels. But the 100 camels, they have different qualities. So we have what? Hiccup. Starting with the hiccup, that is 3-year-old camels. Then 30 will be Jaza, 4-year-old camels. Then 40 will be what? Khalifa, that is pregnant camels. 40 pregnant, 33-year-old, 34-year-old. Exactly. Now with respect to the one that is manslaughter, not murder now. So that one is going to be 100 camels at one hadith. Another hadith, that is the different years that we have. We have Pintu Labul, we have a Pintu Makhaj. So likewise we have a Banu Labul Nadak. That is the one that maybe a year old, 3 years old, 3 years old like this, 4 year old, 2020 like that. Sorry, 2020. So there is one classification like that, and that is that of Ibn Masrud, I think. So, but 100 camels, but that of 40 pregnant has to do with deliberate. Now we now look at, which we have said what 100 camels now, whether deliberate or not deliberate. Now if the person involved is the female, that is the one that is killed is the female, he cut it to pieces. Is that clear? Now we look at religion again. If the one that is killed is a non-Muslim, you say what? Male or female. If it is male, according to a lot of scholars, we look at if it is deliberate. If it is deliberate, some of the opinion that is the same thing with that of the Muslim. If it is not deliberate, half of that of the Muslim. So a male Christian that was mistakenly killed, the deer is going to be 50 camels. So a female Christian that was mistakenly killed, the deer is going to be 25. Because that of the female Muslim is what? 50. So that of the female Christian is going to do what? Half of that of the female Muslim, which is what? 85. So the only area that they disagree majorly is if it is intentional. Something is intentional, it has to be the same. It has to be the same. Inshallah, maybe we are still going to talk about, but it's important that we know this year, that is this blood money, how do they pay it for Allah. What I'm trying to correct is that of the slave. What is going to be the deer? the words of that week for love. Yes, it was practiced by the Arabs in Jahiliyyah. They practice what is even called Qatana, which inshallah we are still going to talk about. So some of these practices were sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some were what? Reviewed. Some were reviewed. So it is good that we know these things for this to serve as a kind of deterrent for us where we do things as well, so that we know what is attached to whatever acts or steps we are taking. So this is important. Now, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.